Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Ray Hall Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRayHallHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Ray Hall Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Landon Tengwall. Landon, how you doing, my friend? It's been beautiful weather around here. I hope you've been out golfing.
Yeah, you know I have, Jim. It's good. Today, you know, you'll be hearing this on Monday, but today's Sunday. I got Sunday gravy. My girlfriend has Sunday gravy on the stove. I woke up to the smell, Jim. I feel like I'm growing up in an Italian household because I'm hyped for tonight, man. Last night, on Saturday, I had Sunday roast. So a lot of Sunday stuff going on. Yeah, I had Sunday roast with some really, I don't even know what the rest of the stuff was called. It was pretty, I'm just a Swedish dude from Annapolis, Maryland, but it was some good stuff. So I'm eating pretty good, Jim. I'm happy about it. I'll be poolside with some Sunday gravy tonight. So I'm feeling good.
Life does not get better than that, Landon. Good for you. Sounds good. I did a little bit of traveling this weekend. I was out and about. I got a chance to be outside. And this coming week, I've got a golf outing scheduled with my brothers. So there's nothing like being with your siblings. We don't live in the same town, so we don't get to see each other a lot. We don't get out to golf very much at all. It usually takes a special occasion. This week, it's just, hey, guys, want to get out to golf?
It's just that easy sometimes, Jim.
Sometimes it is. Well, anyway, let's get to our show. We've got a good one planned, and our show is brought to you by Bobby Ray Hall Honda of State College. They have a great inventory of new vehicles, Landon, including the 2024 Honda Civic with rates as low as 3.9%. So some fantastic deals there. Remind you, that's where I got my car. Got a fantastic deal. I don't even live in State College. I don't live near State College, but it was still the place to go to get the best deal. If you want to check out the showroom, it's on West College Avenue, or you can visit Bobby Ray Hall Honda of StateCollege.com online. See some of the great inventory they have, the great cars, great service people. And like I always say, my buying experience was exceptional there. They treated me fantastic. You want to check them out too. Get yourself a great new Honda like I did.
Yeah, right. We've told on the show before, but we just always have a good memory of going to Bobby Ray Hall Honda for the first time because I had to take Jim. His car broke down. He was at war. He still played nine holes. He pulled up to Mountain View, the course here at Penn State. His car was just eking in, and he said, "We're gonna play nine first before I go handle this. So I'll give it to Jim." And then we handled his car. He got himself a nice Honda. But I'll always remember getting you to that Honda dealership after a long day of golf.
It all worked out in the end. And speaking of golf, speaking of Honda, we've got to get out there with Matt, the manager over there. We've been talking about it for a little bit. Can't wait to do that with Matt also. So always an excuse to get onto the golf course, Landon. Indeed. So anyway, let's move forward. It's interesting. You brought up that you and I, we were golfing when my car broke down. And the fact is, over the time that you and I have met each other, I think it's fair to say we've become friends and we hang out some off of, doing our shows, and we always have a good time together. And one of the things that I've had the privilege to do through you is meet several of the players, Landon, not in a formal media type environment where they're all very guarded, but in like social settings. And there are some great personalities and great people on this team, aren't there?
There definitely are. We recruit not only a high caliber group of men as far as the football field, but good people off the field, good people that you want to be around that are our family guys, that have good principles and are brought up correctly. So I definitely take some pride in that. And honestly, every NIL endeavor that I've been involved in, even after I was retired, I always hear and have people coming up to me saying, everybody here, they're just amazing. The way they either talk to my kid or, my mom, if she's older, they just made them feel special and just the most polite humans. And, that's really cool to hear because, we talked about what it's like at Ohio State, Alabama. They're worried about being, you know, great football team, and that's pretty much about it. There's a lot of other things we want to worry about here at Penn State and, you know, academics, obviously football too, but I think being great people is the number one thing. So I am very proud to be a part of that and have played on a team that has those type of quality people on it, Jim.
Well, for us old timers, we remember it called Success with Honor, Landon. And I know that for a lot of the fans, people I talk to will ask about, well, they'll ask about you, Landon. Landon seems like a really nice guy on the show, Jim. Is he really like that in real life? Is that the personality? Is that it? And don't worry, I lied for you. No. And I say to people, I'll say it right now, what you see and hear from Landon on our show, that's what you get in real life, if not more so, okay?
Yeah, that's what I tell people. I say, you know, listen to my stuff with Jim, come over to my channel, all that stuff. Being completely honest, obviously there's certain things that I won't, you know, and can't tell the full truth on just because there's certain things I know that I can't share. But I am always honest about, you know, a question or if something gets brought up and, you know, I'm talking a lot of NIL stuff or just anything with the team. I try to be as truthful and shoot people as straight as possible, even when I'm just having a conversation with them if I meet them out. So I appreciate that. But yes, this is, I try to be as in my natural habitat as possible. So we have a good time on here, Jim.
It is the real Landon that you get. So with that in mind, okay, with that to set up, Landon, what I wanted to do is something we've done this in prior shows where we say give the fans a peek behind the curtain to see what goes on. And we've talked about, you know, what winter workouts are like, what spring camp is like, what's it like to be recruited. Now I want to get a little more personal and talk about personalities of some of these guys. I probably could predict some of the answers here just based on the stories you've told. But what I want to do is give you like some categories of personalities, and you could identify the player that maybe fits this. Let's start with this. Use this as an example. First of all, I've talked to several of the players who have been very funny guys. Who's the funniest player on the team?
Yeah, I think we've talked about this one before. And honestly, it's really no contest anymore. You know, back when I first got here, there was definitely some comedians on the team. Aeneas Hawkins, who is a big time, you know, he is in the Penn State media right now and kind of even out into the college football media landscape. But he and Nick Dawkins were the guys at the time, back when I got here in 2020, 2021. And nobody really knows this. They both, you know, they're on the Lions Den podcast. You know, Doc, not as much in the social media realm. He's a little bit busy playing football. But Aeneas Hawkins, you know, is obviously known as being that really, really funny guy. And because they were both looked at as like one and two, it was like 1A, 1B as far as who was the funniest dude on the team. You know, right now, just to preface it by Nick Dawkins is definitely the funniest at the moment. But if you go back and look, I believe it's still up on YouTube. If you look up Hawk and Doc, they came out with a podcast that they did because we would beg them back in 2021. And, you know, NIL had just started. And, you know, no one really knew how to make money. Even like Jahan Dotson might have had a couple $1,000 deals. I mean, it was just nothing was going on. And so they say, you know, all right, let's make a podcast. So they made a podcast at their house in the yard, at the yards, the yards at Old State. It's kind of a newer spot. And they just sat in two wooden chairs and they brought on guests. They brought on, Miles Dredd came on. They had a couple other people that they'd brought on. I mean, real low budget. And it's just so funny to look back. And, you know, both of them are doing so well now. But we begged them as a team. We're like, dude, and we're like, everybody will watch. I mean, you guys are hilarious. You know, you're comedians. So now they took that over to the Lions Den podcast, which they do a great job with bringing a player on each week, which is really cool to watch. But, you know, it's fun. My answer, like I said, is Nick Dawkins for right now. But having those type of comedians on the team, it's so necessary because those moments where you're in camp and it's like day 11 and you're just, you know, it's all dark, Jim, and your body hurts, you know, and, you know, not only is it like day 11, but you're like, I still have like 10, 12 more days to go. Like there's no end in sight. You need those guys to come in and crack a joke, say something funny, you know. Nick Dawkins, he's known to do a million different things. He'll make rap, you know, he'll make some rap songs where he kind of disses the whole team and makes, you know, funny jabs at people, and everybody, we'll put it on in the locker room and we'll all laugh and have a great time with it. So you got to have those guys that kind of just bring the team up a little bit. And this is, you know, recognized by the coaching staff too, because I've spoken about this, but every, you know, Coach Franklin has a rule: every time that there is a new member to either the team or the staff, it doesn't matter who you are. Ken Wisenhunt, who has a couple Super Bowl rings, he was on the staff, and even he had to do a dance or a song. So you have to come in, you have to get up in front of the team in a team meeting. So, you know, normally it's the freshmen, but it can be some coaches, and you either have to do some type of dance, song, and you can't, I believe there were certain rules put in. You can't do certain rap songs. They want to, if you're going to sing, you got to really sing. You can't just be talking. So that we've got rules, and the committee on that is appointed by Franklin. Well, the committee used to be a couple guys. He said now it is just Nick Dawkins. Nick Dawkins handles, you know, who he rates them after each go. So if someone gets up, a freshman goes, Nick Dawkins, you know, he sits there, and Franklin will get with them after practice and say, okay, you know, who won this one? You know, what kind of rating did they get for that dance or song? And once everybody goes, all the newcomers, there is a little trophy that is given out by Nick Dawkins for who had the best dance or song that they performed for the team. So, you know, fun stuff like that. It's really important, and it's fun to be around an environment where, you know, coaches like to have that. And it, like I said, it lifts the guys up, especially when things are a little down. If you lose a couple games, if you're in, you know, some, you know, fall camp, all that type of stuff, it's good to have around.
Who has done the best performance that you remember, and who's done the worst performance?
Okay. Barney Amore, who was a, you know, I don't know if everybody remembers Barney. He was a punter in between Jordan Stout and now Riley Thompson. I think he might have started for just a year, but he was, I mean, really stellar. He had some fantastic punts.
He did a great job. Yeah.
Yeah. He came in and he did this. He danced, and he was hip locking, popping. He had some rhythm, Jim. I'll tell you what. And this was like COVID time, so we were all spread out in chairs, and we were all in Haluba, the indoor, and he was dancing, and he got the team. I mean, he got them so fired up, Jim. I'll tell you what. And then, we had this walk-on lineman, Blake Zalar, who would dance to this specific J. Cole song. And he would just, I mean, he didn't do anything good. It was bad. But, I mean, he would just move around so quick and get the, you know, he had no rhythm at all. But he got the team so hyped up because he gave it 110%. So the guys loved it. But I'll have to give, let me think on this. Next, yeah, we're going to get into who's the worst. I can ponder on it for a second.
Yeah, we want to make sure we give this its fair due. It's fair amount of time, because I definitely want to hear it. I'm sure that our listeners do. We will do that when we start back up in quarter number two.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Landon Tengwall. We are having a fun show today. Peek behind the curtain, we're looking at the personalities of some of the players on the team. And remember, our show is brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Fantastic cars there. Can't beat a Honda. Can't beat my Honda CR-V that I just bought there very recently. But they also have a great inventory of new cars, an amazing selection of pre-owned vehicles available for immediate delivery. And if you're not in the market for a car, the service department, they will work on all makes and models. And I'll tell you what, our buddy Matt over there will make sure that's the case. If you want to visit the showroom, it's on West College Avenue in State College, or visit them at Bobby Rahal Honda of StateCollege.com. Landon, we were talking about, you told us about the performance that each new player, new member of the staff, a coaching staff, they have to come out, perform either a dance or a song. You talked about the best. We got to also hear the worst performance, Landon.
Yeah, there's a lot, and it's hard to remember. And I wouldn't even call this the worst. I'm kind of just throwing him under the bus. But I specifically remember Dom DeLuca getting up. And, you know, everybody, you know, the Italian Stallion, so he did up with the Rocky theme song, and he kind of boxed the – it was just a dance to the Rocky – and he kind of just, like, boxed the bag, like Rocky, you know, the bags that the D linemen, like, swiped down. He, like, boxed that a little bit and then kind of just pretended to be Rocky. I'm not going to lie. I think he got clapped off for it, meaning that he got a, you know, you're good. You either get a, you know, you're not good or you're good. And if you're not good, you have to go again. So there is guys that had to go again. That I can't exactly – I mean, there's plenty of guys that'll get up there and they'll just stand there essentially, and it's just like this blank stare, and the song will come on and they're just kind of barely moving, and it's like, okay, what's going on here? I will give Zion Tracy, who's a cornerback, younger dude. I remember when he got up there, he's from New York, and he essentially for our older – it's called getting sturdy nowadays, Jim, but for our older audience, he essentially he got into a breakdance.
Oh,
and he
okay. Was very – see, that I can understand. Yes,
he was very talented on one arm, doing like spins, like very – he had some really good balance. He got a standing ovation, I remember. I don't remember what he did, but I just know that Catron Allen, he got off the hook easy, because I don't think he did, as everybody can imagine. I don't, it doesn't stick in my head. And a lot of them, if it's pretty bad, it's honestly just not memorable. But yeah, there was always some good memories. But my favorite one was Ken Wisenhunt, which I spoke about earlier. You know, very respected dude, and not only in the NFL, but of course, you know, in the college football landscape. And, you know, Frank then, of course, tells someone of that nature, you know, you got to dance. You got to dance or sing in front of the team. And, you know, someone – he's very distinguished and all that stuff. So he comes out and he puts on the song Big Rings by Drake and Future. You'd know it if you heard it, where he's like, I got some really big rings. And, you know, and he's holding up his Super Bowl rings. So he doesn't get a dance. And he's just holding up his Super Bowl rings while the song says, you know, I got some really big rings. And everybody's clapping, going crazy for him. Because, you know, the fact that he even did it was pretty cool. I mean, everybody has to, but someone of that nature, it was really cool. So that's one of my most memorable ones, was when Ken Wisenhunt got up there and held up his Super Bowl rings for us.
You know what, Landon? You hold up Super Bowl rings, you could get away with anything you want.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a get out of jail free card for you. All right, let's move on to a couple other questions. You and I – it just seems like we talk – we even started our before the show today, we were talking food. That's what you and I talk about probably most outside of football, and maybe even more than football, if we're gonna be honest. But who's the biggest eater on the team?
Oh man. Those are some – see, you know, obviously that everybody would think I'd go straight to like Vanga, who's our big offensive line, about 360. You know, he definitely eats a lot, but I would say this is a surprise. Amin Vanover, defensive end, is constantly eating. Now he's a big dude. I think he's about 6'4", you know, 265, 270. So not by any stretch a small guy. You know, you'd think it'd be an offensive lineman. But I mean, I have never seen someone constantly eat the way this guy eats. And, you know, he's the type of dude before practice, you'll go over, you know, you're getting ready, you barely want to eat a couple crackers because, you know, you kind of get jittery before practice. I mean, this dude will have a bag of McDonald's, Five Guys. I mean, it does not affect him whatsoever. And he'll just go out there and perform and be one of the most twitched up, fast guys on the field. But that is this is kind of a surprise. Amin Vanover, I think, has one of the biggest stomachs on the team. And, you know, outside of that, I'll think of one on the offensive line. I did a calorie challenge with Anthony Donka where I took him to Chick-fil-A. It's on my YouTube channel if you want to check it out, Landon Tangwall on YouTube. And, I mean, I don't know. He put away over, I think, around 4,000 calories at Chick-fil-A, and he told me that he just ate a couple hours before that. So I have to throw Anthony Donka up there. If we want to – we got to give an offensive lineman. So I'll throw him up there because it was like 3 Chick-fil-A sandwiches, 3 fries. I mean, like 3 or 4 different drinks. So I couldn't do that anymore. Especially, I don't know if I could have done that back when I was playing either. So I'll have to give – we'll go one on offense, one on defense. I'll give Anthony Donka, it's the biggest eater on offense, and then Amin Vanover takes the crown on defense.
So if we were going to have the eating contest, offense versus defense, it would be Amin Vanover against Anthony Donka.
I guess so. And, you know, we've had some cheesesteak eating competitions in the past. I went up against Stefan Wisniewski, Penn State letterman. Actually, it's Penn State All-American, excuse me. And two-time Super Bowl champion. We went at Campus Steaks, and I actually have a video of that. We're still waiting to put it up. It's going to be a really good one. But I've competed in my fair share. I am not a good, you know, professional competition eater, though, Jim. I'm not good. I don't eat well under pressure. Now, if I'm just chilling, put on a Netflix show or something, I get to sit back with a foot-long cheesesteak. I mean, it'll be gone. But I don't know. When the eyeballs are on me, I'm no Matt Stoney or what's the dude that ate all the hot dogs? I'm drawing a blank on his name. You know, Joey Chestnut.
Yeah,
I'm
no there Joey you go.
Chestnut. Yeah.
Well, the interesting thing, your eating event at Campus Steaks, which, by the way, Campus Steaks, I spent over 15 years in Philadelphia, Landon. So I know a good Philly cheesesteak. Campus Steaks is legit. Okay. Yes. When you were doing the eating competition, I didn't get there for the start of it. It was at least midway through. I had never seen you that look on your face as you had there during the eating. You were, you know, like, okay, I wasn't sure what the end result of this was going to be. I think you even unbuttoned your shorts to.
I did. I had to unbutton my shorts. Well, the problem is the fries. I mean, it's like six orders of fries, and the fries get cold, and they get so hard to get down. But yeah, the end result, I will tell you, I ended up in the alleyway. My girlfriend, she said, you need to just go in the alleyway because, you know, what happens after this? If you leave all of this in your stomach, the aftermath will not be good. So yeah, I got rid of all of it in the alleyway, and I felt pretty afterwards, Jim. I felt pretty good. I actually went home and ate after my cheesesteak, which it was a 24-inch cheesesteak. I believe 5 to 6 orders of fries and then a large drink. So if you want to give that a shot. The jackpot's over $1,000. So if you can complete that, go down to Campus Steaks on Pugh Street, downtown State College. If you think you can do a 24-inch cheesesteak, 5 orders of fries, and a large drink, and win over $1,000, you have at it, because I couldn't do it. Nor could Stefan Wisniewski, Super Bowl champ. Spoiler alert on the video.
He came closer than you did, though. He did well.
He did.
Just one last note. First of all, I would not be able to come close to completing that. However, what I will mention is another time we were headed over there, I forget what the video was, you had ordered a couple for a couple people. I walked in late. I was like, Landon, you didn't order me a cheesesteak? So I gave you a little bit of hell for that. But Joe was great, brings over a cheesesteak for me, and I'm like, oh, my God, I've got another appointment in like 5 or 10 minutes. I got that cheesesteak done, though, before I moved on.
I've seen Jim eviscerate some cheesesteaks in my time just hanging out with him. So, yeah, he, you know, he knows how to eat.
At least when it's a cheesesteak, Landon. All right, let's move on. I got some more questions. Now, you shared with me before what a power hour is. Explain what it is and who's the player most likely to end up with a power hour.
Yeah, so a power hour is it used to be called Dawn Patrol, where that was when Dwight Gault, who longtime strength coach here at Penn State, that was with Franklin at Vanderbilt, who we all very much love. His sons actually went to my high school, so I've known him for a long time. He called it Dawn Patrol, where you'd have to come in at dawn and do something if you got in trouble. Well, now we call them a power hour, and they are a little bit worse. You know, it can range from, you know, a lot of guys that can end up throwing up. But I mean, you do 400 or 500 yards of plate pushes. That means, you know, you put a plate on the ground and you have to push it on the ground. And by the way, it's, you know, very likely to get stuck. Your legs start to, your quads start to cramp, start to give out. You'll do wall sits. I mean, it can be a multitude of things. It is not fun at all. And that's kind of the repercussion for if you're even 2 seconds late to a lift, if you'd missed class, you know, any type of trouble that you get into. And you can find yourself stacking power hours as well, Jim. You want to stay away from there. There have been guys known to stack power hours. And you can also, you know, there's also the threat of, you know, let's say, you know, Franklin gives an extra day off and he says, you know, all right, I'm going to extend this weekend to 3 days off instead of two. But we have a meeting, let's say the next day. He said, and if you don't show up to that meeting because I'm giving you this extra day off, if anybody's late, you know, it's going to be 3 power hours if you're late instead of one. So, you know, he'll triple it. So, you know, it's kind of used a little bit as a tool to make sure guys are doing what they are supposed to be doing, kind of install some fear. And there's that fear factor of after guys do a power hour, they come in the locker room And I mean, they look like absolute hell. They look like they just got beat on, and they might even have some throw up down them, down their stomach, something like that. So it is a deterrent for sure to do dumb things. I gotta think. So I'm sure I would never have record to this, but I'm sure there is record kept of who has the most power out. So I would be curious to find that number out. I might have to throw my man Jalen Reed under the bus. I feel like time to time he could be a little late. We have a couple of linemen out there, old heads. Caden Wallace. I'll throw Caden Wallace under the bus because he's no longer a player here for sure. He has been known to get some power hours, and mainly just for being late to things. Sometimes you oversleep a little bit. When you're an old head, fifth, sixth year, you're more likely to be a little more lax and not as alert and being like, okay, I need to get here on this time and wake up early. You wake up 10 minutes before a lift and just pray you get there. So I'll give my answer from the time period that I played. I'm going to give Caden Wallace. I think he might have had the most that I saw, but he's worked out pretty well. Third round draft pick for the Patriots. So I think his power hours didn't affect him too much.
So power hour is not a killer to the career, but it's definitely something that you want to avoid if at all possible. Real quick, have you ever had a power hour?
I never have. There's multiple of us that always talk about we never want one, never had one. Nick Dawkins, I've given him a shout out. Been there for 5 years, never once had a power hour. We talk about that a lot.
Very good. We're going to talk about more of the players when we come back for quarter three.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Landon. I'm Jim. We are brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. That's where I got my Honda. It's the place had the best deal, and it had the best buying experience. And I don't even live in State College. I live an hour and a half away. That was the best place to go to get my Honda. And you could enjoy the Bobby Rahal experience by visiting their West College Avenue showroom or check them out online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. All right, Landon, we've been talking about some of the players and, who's the funniest on the team, who's the biggest eater. Let's sort of go a little different direction. Not everybody has that big outgoing personality on the team. Not everyone can be a Landon Tengwall. Let's talk about the other way. Who's the guy on the team who's the quietest or the shyest among the group?
Yeah, it's funny. People think that, most football players are outgoing and loud, like you said. But there is honestly a lot of quiet guys. So I might have to give a couple answers, which I think the fans will like because you get more and more insight. I think one of the obvious answers is Catron Allen. Everybody talks about how he doesn't say anything and he'll just run through your face, which is that's like the scariest type. That's like the James Harrison style where doesn't really say much, but will absolutely just kill you on a football field. So I'd say Keyshawn Allen's my number one. Someone else that's up there is Trey Wallace, I think is very quiet. He's actually one of my neighbors. You don't hear a lot from him. I mean, he'll walk past, he'll give you a little, hey, that's about it. So him, and then honestly, the whole running back room, Nick Singleton is also a really, really quiet guy. I've had a couple of classes with him, just keeps to himself. And I think part of that is also when you are Catron Allen or Nick Singleton, there's certain things that come with that, and there's all these eyeballs on you. So there's kind of that want to, have some privacy and not be out there. And, it was easier for me as an offensive lineman. No one really gave a crap about me. it's one of those things. But I'd say those three guys, Trey Wallace, Catron Allen, and Nick Singleton, I think those are the three quietest guys around. I'll also give an honorable mention to young Abdul Carter. I want to share this with the fans. Abdul Carter might have been the quietest person I've ever seen when he came in, and he is not that way anymore. Trust and believe. He will just scream, let everybody know. You know, he got, you know, got very good at football very quick. So I think that helped. But young Abdul Carter was probably the quietest guy on the team. Not so much anymore, Jim. He lets everybody hear his presence and lets it be known that he is in a room.
Well, if you're Abdul Carter, probably those first days you come in, you get the lay of the land, got to figure out where you stand. Then when you realize, hey, I'm Abdul Carter.
Well, yeah, I think I may have told this story, I think, on our Landon and Jim versus the World. But I talked about the story where I think it was his first day of camp where he had pads on, and I pancaked Abdul. And I said, you know, I said a couple bleep words in there, but I said, you know, you're not, I said, you're not Micah Parsons yet. You know, he was wearing 11 and he, you know, just got there. So he wasn't really proven. I didn't, you know, everybody kind of knew what he was going to be, but we hadn't really seen it on a football field yet. And he didn't say anything when I said that to him. And then from there on out, I mean, it was intent by, from Abdul, if we ever went against each other, to try to put me on my butt. I mean, it was noticeable, like very clearly. So, you know, he definitely holds some grudges too, but it's fun to watch those guys morph into, you know, what they were and then see what they are now. It's cool to kind of be there for that growth.
So what you're telling me is over time against you, he became Abdul Bleeping Carter.
Yeah, it seems that way, Jim. I might have helped bring that along by making him a little bit angry. Sometimes some anger can bring that out in guys.
So you made Abdul Carter. You could take credit for it.
You know, I won't take all the credit, Jim, but you know, I think it was somewhere in there. He just unlocked it. But he's, you know, very much a special talent. I still say the closest thing to Micah Parsons in all of college football. So really excited to see him play for our team again this year.
Okay, when we talk shyest, quietest player, I'll bet you if we polled the fans, a very, very large number would say Drew Aller.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's a good point. I would say there's a lot of guys, and I think maybe it's because I'm a little bit closer with Drew, that it didn't pop into my head as much because when you're close, a lot of these guys that are shy, when they're with their good friends, they're not really like that. They open up, they have a good time, and they're laughing. So, you know, Drew's not like that as a whole. When he's with his friends, just hanging out. And like I said earlier with Nick and Katron, I think when you're under that type of spotlight, you're kind of more likely to just be shy and not want to be because you're constantly in the spotlight. When you have opportunities to not be in the spotlight, you're probably going to take it and just kind of keep to yourself. Not everybody, you know, that's not everybody. But I think that's why you see some quiet stars, some Kawhi Leonard types where they just kind of completely stay away from all type of social media just because it's a little bit of a distraction, but you know, they just don't want to invite some of that into their lives. They want to keep it private. So I would say, yes, I do think most of the fans would answer Drew Aller. But I am here to tell you, he is a very funny, outgoing guy when he, you know, is in a comfortable environment with his friends.
Very good. That's interesting. And that's why we're talking to you about this, to get, you know, an idea of what the players are like. But, and it's natural, like you mentioned, some of the stars, Nick Singleton, Katron Allen, hey, they let their play talk for them. But speaking of that interaction, and it's tougher when you have so much media attention, makes me want to ask this. What player is most likely to say the wrong thing to the media, Landon?
You know, it is driven into our heads by Coach Franklin to always say the right things in the media. So, number one, you're not allowed to talk to the media as a freshman. And what they do is, you know, normally it opens up around this time of the year, normally a little bit earlier than this, is when the freshmen from this past season are now allowed to talk to the media. And, you know, I remember certain things. Franklin would drill into our heads. I believe it was either Shane Simmons, who played defensive end for Penn State here back in, I think it was 2016, 2017. Maybe it was 2015 because we were playing JT Barrett. I think it might actually have been Sharif Miller. It was Sharif Miller, one of those guys. One of those DNs with the Wild Dogs, with, you know, Coach Spence. And they came out and said, you know, JT Barrett's slow or he can't move. He's not able to run. Something like that. And, you know, Franklin has always showed us this tweet. And it went viral. Of course, everybody heard about it. It was on a Tuesday and then, you know, played Ohio State that Saturday. It wasn't 2016 because, you know, Franklin's talked about how we lost that game and how dumb it is to insult your opponent and to give them something. So, you know, not only do we have media training, but it is also, you know, just absolutely pushed on us. Hey, compliment your opponent, be nice as possible. Don't give them any ammo to do any types of, you know, get them riled up. Kind of like when you're playing Michael Jordan, people talk about that. You don't want to say anything to get them riled up. But that's really the same thing for everybody. You know, so I would say, and a lot of these questions I'll base from my time on the team, not only just current players. I would say the most likely to kind of pop off a little bit, I'd give it to Keandre Lambert-Smith. So maybe the fans are happy to hear that he's gone. But that is someone I think that would, you know, take to Twitter with something that he shouldn't. Or, you know, just say one wrong thing that he maybe shouldn't say to the media. So that would be my vote, would be Keandre Lambert-Smith. Because there's certain guys that will kind of pop off a little bit and say the wrong thing. But for the most part, I mean, we do a really good job making sure that guys are media trained and they know what to say. And honestly, that's kind of bringing this back around. That's why I like to bring guys in, on my stuff and make sure, you know, on the podcast and how I talk about it, it's kind of different from other people because there's so much coach speak with, you know, how the media training that these guys get. There's so much, you know, yeah, we're doing real great. And then if you ask him about a player, I mean, obviously there's nothing negative that's ever going to be said when you ask a teammate about another one of their teammates. It's always going to be positive because that's the type of coach speak and media training we're talking about. So that's kind of, I think, one of the plus sides to a lot of stuff that we're doing, Jim. And especially, you know, especially me, where I'm friends with these guys, I was their teammate. So I'm a lot more likely to open up and not give me that type of coach speak. So I think that's something to kind of think about too, is like, you know, you're always kind of getting a little bit of BS answers when you ask guys certain things. So I guess it's a little bit of a plug for me, but I mean, it really is the truth. And I was just kind of thinking about it. It's nice when you have these type of podcasts where it's, you know, former players or current players that have podcasts and guys go on and you're starting to hear all these stories from NFL, NBA players of stuff that happened. And without these podcasts, those wouldn't come out because they're not comfortable around, you know, for example, in our realm, and Audrey Snyder. You're not going to kind of sit there and shoot the crap with Audrey Snyder and tell her stories because you don't know how that's going to be twisted and turned, and you don't really trust those people. Well, now when you have a teammate or someone you've played against that, you know, is one of your peers, you're a lot more likely to share these kind of stories and share funny, goofy stories. So I'm a big component of the player-led our former players doing, you know, media. But yeah, that is my answer. I'd say Keandre Lambert-Smith. So hopefully Auburn doesn't get too much trouble out of our guy down there.
poor Audrey, too. You throw her under the bus.
I do. I hope I do. I mention her all the time as far as, you know, that kind of stuff. She does a great job. I do want to say that. She is absolutely one of the best writers that I've ever, you know, read from. I love her work, but definitely likes to get guys in trouble. I will say that.
Well, I think the thing with the media, and I'm a relatively new member of the media, the traditional media members have what they feel is an obligation to find the truth and get clicks, get readers. And oftentimes it's the negative story. If you could find that, you know, this player, this coach beats their dog, you know, it's a big deal. It's a big story. And it's unfortunate because there's a lot more going on with the players. All right. We've been finding out, you know, funniest and guys having to do power hours. Let's go to the other side. And I know we're only going to get a minute here, but you could have a couple players and we can have this spill into quarter number four. Who are the most dedicated, hardest working players on the team?
I would say, and this always correlates normally to I think the best players. I would say number one, without a doubt, and I think everybody on the team would agree with this, is KJ Winston. I don't think it's any coincidence of what has happened over this past, you know, really 2 years for KJ, because of the time and effort that he puts in. I mean, I remember going in for winter workouts, which, by the way, start at 5:30. So that means you have to get in there. I would get in there around 4:45 in the morning during winter workouts. It is pitch black. There's snow on the ground. And I remember walking in, grabbing my water and some oatmeal at 4:45. And I would look to my left and I would see KJ Winston already out of the hot tubs, already fully dressed, rolling out. I mean, already ate all of that. I mean, he must have gotten in there at 3:45 in the morning. And that's just a little piece. I mean, I've seen the time that he puts in on his film study, all of that type of stuff. I think is, you know, a testament to why he's doing so well in his, you know, in his game. But I would definitely put KJ Winston at number one. And then kind of sticking with the safeties, because this is someone that just pops into my mind, it is Jalen Reed. Absolutely phenomenal. And is a dog out there at safety. So I'm a big fan of the work that he puts in.
Very good. We'll hit some more of the players when we come back for quarter number four.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, general manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College. And we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four. He's Landon. I'm Jim. Landon, we're having a fun show today. We are looking into more of the like the personalities of the players. When we finished up quarter three, we were talking about how, you know, with the media sometimes they seem to look for the thing, the story of things going wrong. And maybe this is an awkward segue, but I'm going to bring it up anyway, because we're actually recording our show on Sunday morning. And just between segments, I did a quick look. My New York Mets are playing. And I think it must be ESPN covering the game, because one of the highlights, they were saying, oh, Francisco Lindor made a play while he was being interviewed.
I think that's completely ridiculous. I would be so mad. Now, you know, obviously there's guys mic'd up. I'd be interested to mic someone up mid-play and have an interview go on in football. That'd be interesting. Nick Singleton or Catron Allen with the ball, and they're asking them a question while they're and dodge around people. I don't think that'd go very well.
I'm very much a hardcore baseball fan. I don't think that enhances my experience very much.
We continue to go that way. We're getting more and more insight, like we talked about with the players doing podcasts and radio shows and stuff. So I think we're going to continue to do more of that stuff and get more sneak peeks, which is good for games and good for sports as a whole. But definitely not. I'm sure the players, it's not their favorite thing.
We were taking a peek behind the curtain, taking a look at the personalities of the players, but there's also personalities among the coaching staff, Landon. And instead of getting into specifics, maybe just share with us some of the stories, what the coaching staff is like. What is, you know, Coach Franklin like? How about, you know, Troutwine, your coach on the offensive line, some of the other coaches? I know you and I have talked about it occasionally, but I think our listeners would really like to get a feel like, what are these guys really like day to day? At practice, off the field.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, we'll start out with Coach Troutwine. He was my coach. I think one of the more quiet coaches for sure. Not a lot of people know this, and it doesn't really fit with how, you know, he kind of conducts himself. But part of that Gators team, those back-to-back national championships that, you know, that they basically called, you know, the convicts. I think they have the highest arrest record rate for any college football team ever. Philip Troutwine was actually a part of that. He was the left tackle for Tim Tebow. So first off, he has some of the best stories. I'm going to have him on sometime and give some of those stories. But he is, you know, like I said, I think he's one of the quietest, but I would say the hardest working coach. And I'm not just saying this because he was my coach. I think he was easily the hardest working coach on the staff. I mean, stays to 1 a.m. filling out extra notes for us, little tidbits, just anything to get us a little bit ahead. So I really enjoyed having him as a coach because he made things easier for us players. Now, as far as this is definitely what I want to get into, you know, because you don't get to, you know, you get to see a little bit from the players. You get a little bit of a sneak peek, and that's something that you and me are especially are trying to do more of, get these players out there and showcase their personalities. But I think the two funniest coaches, that would have to either go, I'll do two. I'll go offense and defense. Ty Howe, our tight ends coach, might be one of the funniest dudes around. He is an absolute comedian. And then kind of just in a different way, Anthony Poindexter, who I think overall might be the best position coach on this whole roster. And you've seen what he's done with our safeties. Obviously didn't recruit Jair Brown or Jaquan Brisker, but had them for a little bit. Has now Jalen Reed, Kevin Winston Jr., Zaki Wheelie. I mean, absolutely all NFL dudes. And he is just, you know, super talented. But I think that kind of plays into it. When you are able to, you know, have a good time with your players, joke around, make them laugh, make it a good time for everybody, but still get the best out of them and be an elite coach, that's what makes you an elite coach, when you are able to do all those things and have those qualities. So I want to give a big shout out to him. He, you know, was up for the defensive coordinator job, and a lot of people were thinking he might have gotten it. And he was up for some head coaching gigs too that he could have left for, but wanted to stay around because he likes where he's at, and this is a, you know, very special place. So I just want to take a second to not only talk about how funny he is and how great of a coach he is, but he has stuck around, and I think that is a big piece to this Penn State football team that not a lot of people talk about. It is Anthony Poindexter.
I think you're correct with that, and you know the proof is in the pudding. What's the end result there? And it's like year after year, and it's interesting to me, the two guys that you talk are the funniest guys may have the most consistent positions as far as talent. They just keep churning out NFL players, and it doesn't appear to be an end in sight at either position.
Yeah. No, you're very right. No, and that's a real thing. The coaches that can find a way to relate to the players, and that's how they get the most out of them. When you are not on, like you said, you obviously have to be a good coach and understand the scheme. But relating to the players is more than half the battle, Jim. If you can get them to understand and want to play for you, you know, we saw that with Manny Diaz. We saw when there was a turnover, they would run over, and whoever got that turnover would hand the ball to Manny. I mean, he would be the first guy they would look for to go celebrate on the sidelines. That means something. I think that means more than a lot of fans, you know, put credence into. So, you know, to have those type of guys on the staff is uber important. So also a credit to James Franklin for, you know, bringing these guys around and making sure that he has these types of, you know, assistant coaches around him.
You know, you talked about Coach Troutwine as being the quietest coach. Who's the loudest coach? Who's the coach who just, his normal talk is a scream, you know, at practice? Who's the guy that no matter where you are on the practice field, you're going to hear his voice?
Well, there, for anybody that follows closely, there is an assistant offensive line coach, Coach Frank Leonard. And if you're interested in this, go to, I believe T Frank posted it, but if you want to go to my Twitter too, I reposted a couple things about him. You know, he is an older dude. I believe he's almost 70, and he has done it all. He's been in the college football. He was basically Bill Belichick's right-hand man for recruiting offensive linemen. And this dude screams and yells, and he'll let you have it. If you mess up, he lets you know. He's assistant coach, not just one of them, but I mean, I have never, like I said, please, if you want to get a glimpse of what I'm talking about, go to my Twitter, and it's one of my last posts. It'll still be up there. Frank Leonard, and it's him screaming at a camper, at a young high school camper. And he is just, and sometimes you can barely even hear what he's saying. It's just, oh, that's what it sounds like. But I mean, the players get a big kick out of it. You know, very Italian dude. And he'll, you know, make the funniest jokes at you, you know, say stuff. And then he'll come over, you know, he'll yell at you in the film room. And then he'll come over and, you know, give you a kiss on the head. Like, you know, you know how old Italian men are. That's, you know, very, you know, you're very familiar with that, Jim. So we loved having him around. But as far as, you know, just assistant coaches, I think that would maybe have to go to Dex again. He talks a lot of crap too, especially to the offensive line. I think because he was so far away from the offensive line, we could never really get our hands on the safeties. He was able to kind of talk crap to us because he knew that we were never going to see him or his guys. But as far as just straight up assistant coaches, I think I have to give that to Dex again. And that, you know, that kind of lights a fire under his players. He starts talking trash and they go, all right, let's do this. I want to talk some crap too. And, you know, so it's a good time to have those coaches bring out the best competition in everybody.
You know, Landon, you talk about the Italian guy is the loudest, the screamer. You know what we call that as Italians? Normal conversation. So, well, here's another question. I'm curious about this among the coaching staff. Who's the best athlete among the coaching staff?
Ooh, that's a really good one. You know, naturally, I'd have to, you know, Deion Barnes is probably the youngest and the closest to playing. So he probably has to take that just off of the fact. that, you know, he was just playing not too long ago. Man, I'm trying to think anybody else. You know, most of the staff played back in the day, but you know, a lot of these guys, Jim, they're up in their 50s now. They try to break on the ball or something, they'll fall on their face. I remember though, they put out a video, Penn State football, where James Franklin actually hurdled someone. I don't know if anybody remembers that, but they put that video out there. It's still out there somewhere. But I have to give a shout out to Coach Franklin for that. He's still at his older age. I believe he's, you know, low, you know, young 50s. He was able to still get out there and hurdle someone. But I don't know. Once again, I keep coming back to Anthony Poindexter. I mean, this guy, he's a college football Hall of Famer. So there is that piece of it. But at the moment, we'll have to give that title to Deion Barnes just because he just finished up playing less than, I think, like 5 or 6 years ago. So definitely in the best shape out of all the coaches. Because, you know, when guys start to get old and you're coaching a lot, you eat some good food and you stop worrying about that figure as much. And it gets harder and harder to still be labeled athletic.
Yes, I am very well aware of that aging process, Landon. It does happen. And trust me, young man, one of these days it's going to happen to you too.
It will. It will. Jim, that's why I golf, man. I'm always, hopefully I can always golf.
It's the old man sport. I shouldn't say anything. I'm ready to say it's hard to get hurt while golfing, although I have seen some people pull a muscle or do something.
Yeah. Don't jinx yourself now, Jim. You're going out there in a couple days.
All right. So let's go back to the players a minute. I had another question I want to ask. Who's the player on the team who was most likely to take a dare?
Oh, take a dare. That's a really good one. You know, oh man. We do have some daredevils, the type of guy that you say, "Hey, I'll give you $5 to do this," and it's something outrageous. And they'll say, "Oh yeah, I'll take you up on that, no doubt." Ah, man, you're putting me on the spot here, Jim. Let's think about this one. I'd say I'll give that one to Dom DeLuca. I think, yeah. You know, I have spent a lot of time around him, so there is a little bit of bias. But I think Dom DeLuca would be the most likely to say, you know, if I say, "Hey, you need to go run around the neighborhood, I'll give you $5 if you go do it in your underwear." He's like, $5? let's do this thing. I'm ready to make some money. So I'll give that one to Dom DeLuca. He has been known to take on a dare or two.
Well, that is interesting. Now it's everyone's going to be curious. If you offer them $5, what's going to happen? Landon, I'll tell you what, this was a fun show. It was interesting, and we've talked about this. It's great to be able to give the folks a little peek behind the curtains, learn a little bit more about the players, their personalities.
Absolutely. It is fun. It's been a lot of fun. I love doing this type of stuff and giving the fans a glimpse behind the scenes.
It is. It's great. As I said, in all seriousness, I've had the privilege to get to know you well. You give us some of these stories as you and I just casually were out to lunch or something. And I really do appreciate it. It's a lot of fun. It's made me more of a fan of some of these individual players when you get to know more about them. All right, Landon, that is it for our show. Thank you all for listening. Join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.